right. I will call this September 18th, 2018, regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission to order. At this time, those in attendance, if you would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Any adjustments to the regular session agenda this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on. We have an opportunity at this time to for the audience to address the commission. This would be on issues not related to the quasi-judicial public hearing, which will be held subsequent. We have not received any requests, so my assumption is we have no public testimony at this time. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion for approval of minutes from our March 6, 2018 joint regular meeting, our March 20th regular meeting, and our May 8th joint regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Discussion.
Discussion, yes.
I have not had any time to review these at all. I didn't get them until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay.
And then found them in a format that was that I couldn't keep notes on, and then I had errands to run and was not able to really access them at all. So sorry.
Okay.
I'd suggest that we postpone it until our next regular meeting.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
Motion withdrawn.
Motion withdrawn. Okay, there was a timing issue with having an opportunity to review the minutes. Is that an issue if we push this to a subsequent meeting?
No.
Okay. All right. At this time, we will be conducting a quasi-judicial public hearing. This is a zoning map amendment, 811-18-000148, type 3, 4740 Main Street. And at this time, and Andy Lindbergh is senior planner, is presenting this evening. I would like to before we open the public hearing, I would like to turn it over to our legal counsel to review what applies to a quasi-judicial hearing.
Thank you, Chair. The hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These rights include the right to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision-maker. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. Evidence. The evidentiary rules associated with these hearings are less restrictive than used in circuit courts, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, may be considered. Please note the following important aspects of tonight's hearing. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support raising the issue with statements or evidence sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission or City Council has an opportunity to respond to the concern or issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or to seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In a quasi-judicial decision-making process, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all applicable approval criteria have been met. The criteria for tonight's decision has been posted on the wall and is outlined in the staff report and will be summarized by the staff in their presentation. The reference to Springfield Municipal Code is section 5.22-115. The record, Springfield Development Code, I apologize, not Municipal. The record of this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, any staff report and supporting documents, any testimony and documentary evidence admitted during the hearing. If you want an item entered into the record, present that item to the planning secretary, orally or in writing. If there's any question in your mind whether any material is in the record, make a point of asking that it be accepted. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make it before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period to allow other parties the opportunity to respond to new evidence. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting it must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. Testimony. This hearing is recorded on tape, and so I ask that those who wish to testify follow a few procedures. First, testify from the podium to my left, not from the citizen seats. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the Planning Secretary and the Commission to identify the testimony offered by each speaker and assist in creating a transcript of the hearing if necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. Decision and appeal. The Planning Commission will issue its decision after the record is closed. Any persons who participated in the hearing may appeal the decision to the City Council. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for appeal and the form of appeal. And then finally, impartiality. Oregon Land Use Law requires the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business would suffer by his or her decision. An ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Commissioner, at this time, it is appropriate to open the hearing.
All right. The public hearing, quasi-judicial public hearing, is now open. Members of the commission must declare potential conflicts of interest or ex parte contact related to this quasi-judicial hearing. Do we have any ex parte communications? Any conflicts of interest?
No.
Hearing none. At this time, I will ask Andy to step forward, and you're forward, and please move forward with public hearing process.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The zoning map amendment this evening is actually to correct a plan zone conflict. I'll get more into that. It was brought to the city's attention, and this is co-sponsored by the city in order to correct discrepancies between the zoning of a site and the plan designation and the adopted refinement plans that the city has. So this particular site is located just on the north side of Main Street, just by 48th Street. Folks that are familiar with this property may recall it used to be Whiskey River Ranch. It's been various iterations of restaurants, taverns, over the last several decades, I believe. And so it's been operating as a eating and drinking establishment, essentially. However, the zoning is actually light, medium, industrial. And the property owner wishes to correct this in order to change the zoning to community commercial, which opens up a broader range of uses, allows for various tenants to potentially occupy this existing building and possibly do further development on the site, both the areas to the west of this building and also to the north. I do note that the area to the north is zoned light, medium, industrial. That is not proposed to be changed for this, and that is also consistent with the designation. So
the Panhandle lot and the lot behind this facility is not included in this?
Essentially, the area in question is the rectangle. There was a property line adjustment that did create a panhandle with the adjoining property, and so the existing zoning as outlined on this map is light, medium, industrial, and there's a little rectangular portion of community commercial that at least shows up in our zoning map. This action would create one block of community commercial zoning for this entire property. So that is the request. So the current zoning is predominantly light, medium, industrial. The proposed zoning is for community commercial. And I would note that there's an extract I have from the East Main Refinement Plan diagram, which is this, and this shows the site in question. It's designated mixed use 2 and 3. And then if you drill down into the text in the East Main Refinement Plan, the zoning that's appropriate for mixed use 2 or 3 is medium or high density residential or community commercial.
Yeah.
In this case, the request is for community commercial. Staff agrees that it lends itself well to that type of zoning. There isn't residential on this stretch of Main Street on the north side. The property immediately to the west is Dairy Queen, and there's some other commercial businesses further to the west. The applicant is not seeking residential use on the site, so it's consistent with the refinement plan. During our research, we did discover that there's an area immediately to the east, and this is only for interest. This is to not affect this evening's proceedings, but the mixed-use district should carry on eastward to 48th Street.
Yeah.
The intervening property is International Paper. It's unlikely that anything's going to happen there anytime soon, but it demonstrates that there are some, I guess, housekeeping mapping that the city needs to do to make sure that the plan and the zoning map are consistent. So the request before you this evening is for a rezoning of 1.4 acres, a rectangular portion of the property. It does overlap two tax lots, but it has both property owners have signed and applied for the zoning map amendment. And again, it's from light medium industrial to community commercial. The applicant's representative is here this evening. If you have specific questions, and they may wish to make a presentation, but I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, this is to bring the site into conformity with the adopted East Main Refinement Plan. It does open up additional potential tenancies for the existing building and also for any site development or redevelopment, and it brings it into conformity with the refinement plan.
Okay. Any questions for Andy at this point? Okay. Any testimony from the applicant this evening?
Renee Clough with Branch Engineering. I am here on behalf of the property owner who is the applicant, and they are very much in favor of the application. The property owner recently purchased the site, and during their due diligence phase of the purchase, they held a development issues meeting with the city, at which point this conflict came up and they came to our awareness. And they're not entirely sure exactly what development they are going to do on the site. However, pretty much any development they do, one of the requirements for approval of that will be that the zoning and the designation be in conformity. So this is kind of just trying to get out in front of that ball, open the site up for development once they decide what they want to do. And like Andy, I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Can I first get your address?
Oh, sure. 310 Fifth Street, Springfield.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have no request for testimony in support of the application. If anyone wishes to testify, now would be the point that we could take that testimony. Hearing none. Any testimony in opposition? None. Summation by staff. I think it's fairly clear, but
yes, this is a pretty straightforward exercise. The city undertakes these a couple times a year when they're brought to the attention of staff. The applicant's cost is merely the public notification, so staff kind of carries the ball in order to get this correction done to the zoning map, and then it also allows the applicant to move forward with their development plans under the correct zoning context.
I was going to ask you that, what the cost was for the applicant, and I think it is right for the city.
Yeah, compared to applying to rezone a site that's already, you know, conforming with the plan designation or to do a kind of a spot zoning, so to speak. It's economical, and it also allows us to administratively correct something, a discrepancy that's been longstanding on this property.
Any other questions for staff? Hearing none. Thank you. Any rebuttal from the applicant? No? Okay. So at this time, we have an opportunity. We received no public written input. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, there was no either. There was no phone calls or any written testimony, even just to inquire about the nature of it. And that was with public mail out notification. The site was posted. The ad was in the paper and on the website, and there wasn't any comment.
Okay. So at this time, I would certainly entertain a motion to close discussion. Go ahead.
First of all, it's encouraging to see that the building is going to be used after, I believe it's been vacant for 6 months or so, so I think it's a really good thing. And the other thing is I noted that staff findings in the presentation by the applicant were very thorough and really clear discussion of all the code and state standards, etc. So very, very encouraging, very thorough presentation.
Okay, other discussion? Yeah, it is. It's good to see, I believe, the city stepping up when there is a discrepancy like this and working with folks who are have potential for development. And I think this is great. Good opportunity to update things, get it right. And so this makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate the staff work on this and the thoroughness of the applicant. So thank you. So at this time, hearing no more discussion, any other points, commissioners? Okay. I would entertain a motion to close the written record. Close the public hearing.
A motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Puebla, seconded by Commissioner Bowes to close the public hearing. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? And I would also entertain a motion to close the written record.
I move that we close the public record.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Bowes, seconded by Commissioner Cuevla to close the written record at this time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So at this time, I certainly would entertain a motion to take action on this amendment to the Springfield zoning map.
I move to approve 811-18-148-TYP3 Branch Engineering's application on behalf of 4740 Main LLC to rezone approximately 1.4 acres of property at 4740 Main Street, identified as Assessor's Map 17-02-32-42, tax lots 101 and 102, from light medium industrial to community commercial, because the application meets the applicable criteria of approval.
Second.
Okay, it's moved by Commissioner Cuevla, seconded by Commissioner Bergen to approve, as stated, the application for rezoning. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Excellent job, staff. Very well documented, very straightforward. Excellent job. Okay. Any reports of city council activity?
I attended. City Council work session and regular session regarding the city street repair bond on, let's see, 9/5/18. Real good discussion on the reasons for the city street repair bond, and very informative and really good presentation. Also, we discussed the Main Street Safety Project, CCI. That was pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Any other reports of City Council?
Yes, I attended City Council on September 17th, and they talked about the solid waste code changes, potentially bringing that forward, taking a deeper dive into that. Santa Pac brought forward an issue about potentially commercially used dump sites of not allowing, and I will quote them, not allowing dumpster diving, whether that's from individuals or third-party companies that do this for a living. So they are going to do a little bit more research on that to see. One of the questions brought up was, does OSHA ever get involved in something like this? Because they're concerned on the safety, health, as well as finding in and out of those containers being safe for the community. And the City Council meeting itself was quick and efficient. I don't have much to report on that.
Okay. Any others? Should be it, I think. Upcoming Planning Commission meetings and committee assignments. I think Brenda sent out our latest assignments for attending council meetings. I think I have one more on the 24th or something like that. So and you'll have your assignments moving forward. So at this time, business from Development Public Works Department. I'll turn it over to Sandy.
Good evening, Commissioners. So my hope, if I can carve out enough time to pull this off, and if it's something that you would like to do, is to have some work session time for you to be introduced to different topics. You could see that as training, you could see it as discussion and such. And the reason I'm thinking about it is because we are going to have at least two new planning commissioners. We're also, as you heard tonight, embarking on a development code update. And so for you to be really effective as a commission in giving input on the development code, I feel like you need to be well grounded in our code development issues, planning concepts, the statewide framework, and all of the things that you heard Mark Russ talk about tonight. So I had met with Commissioner James to brainstorm some ideas, and I have put together an outline of some topics, and I wanted to just bring that up and talk with you about it and get your thoughts about topics, format, interest, and then I could prepare some agenda topics for your upcoming meetings, probably starting maybe mid-October. So in my mind, I was thinking we'd start broad, meaning looking at you heard Mark talk about Euclidean zoning, so what is zoning, how did it start? At the city of Euclid as an example, some other public health and safety, the police power that gives authority for municipalities to do codes, land use, zoning, and such. So that could be one session. The second session could be focused on Oregon's land use planning system. We are unique amongst the states in that we have a statewide framework and have had for a number of years. And so that really affects how we operate and do business, even at the local level. Another session could be the Springfield context, and then start looking at how do we implement the comprehensive plan policies that we have coming locally and down to us. So looking at zoning, land divisions, development code, the EDSPM that was mentioned, other methods for implementation. So that's three topics so far. So One could be on making land use decisions and all that goes into that and the different types of land use decisions. Tonight you did a quasi-judicial land use decision. How is that different from a legislative decision or an administrative decision or ministerial, I should say? We could have a session focused on planning commissioner's role, and in that we would get into some of those things you heard our attorney talk about, those ex parte contacts, conflicts of interest, bias, how do you involve citizens in your role as committee for citizen involvement and yet maintain that impartiality required for those quasi-judicial decisions, and how do you know when to do what? We could have a session on making legally defensible decisions that would be focused on those findings of fact, what's in the record, looking at exactions and takings. What can you require? What can you not require? When do you get in trouble? when you want too much for the community. And then there's always your role as a volunteer with the city, the administrative regulations or ethics rules and such. So those are topics I had brainstormed. I'd be interested in feedback from you on those topics. And I'll stop there and then I'll ask you another question as a follow-up.
You know, I've got to be honest, all of those seem pretty crucial. So to be able to narrow down, if you're looking for us to narrow down, I personally don't feel that I could take any one of them out because they're all very, have play their specific role to help us play our role better.
My only question is, with all these topics that you've suggested, are you thinking of packaging them into a group for presentation? Are you going to pick one at a time and say, let's do this one and let's do this one?
Well, what do you think would work best?
Well, I guess it would be a question of how much material we're looking at in each grouping. Mm-hmm. And that's the primary consideration.
Right.
You how have deep a 10-minute conversation and then that'd be it. Or it could last for an hour plus.
And frankly,
depends on what the specifics are.
Right. You know, we're running short-staffed. You know, that's one of the considerations of this. And so part of it's going to be on the capacity of what we can do for you to prepare and take you through it. So at some level, you know, we could do touch on more and do it on a broader level, but if we're going to really go deeper into it, then there are probably, you know, more individualized topics. One of my follow-up questions for this is, you know, there are online trainings, and so that would be one way of getting into some of this without staff being quite as involved. What is your thought about that, if we did use those, at least for some of the topics, probably not all of them, would that be something you would want to do on your own, or would you want to come and do them together? Where you're sitting down and doing the trainings all at once and then having the discussion after?
Myself, I feel, again, I agree with Commissioner Bergen that all those subjects are really good. And even for some of us who've been on the commission for some time, I think we can always, it never hurts us to revisit some of these topics. So I would support it. I also think that work sessions would be a good way to do it. And now that we have the kind of the end of construction season approaching, we might get less work otherwise. So I'd suggest that we continue to have work sessions using that whenever possible. In regard, this is actually kind of funny, I think, but in regarding the online training, I'd rather approach the Euclidean in a more Socratic fashion.
So, yes, no, go ahead. I was just going to state, I think there is, I think these are very critical with really three new commissioners. You know, Commissioner Bergen has been on for a short time, but you'll have at least two more brand new commissioners, possibly three, but probably two. And I think it's just critical for them to have. I liked how you laid it out, Sandy. It's like 50,000 foot, and you kind of roll down into you. Then you understand the context in which those other lower level pieces fit into place. So to me, the way you outlined that, I think makes a lot of sense. What I would recommend that you do, and you do however you want to do it, but I think would be beneficial, is any online training that you can leverage to pull information from, to share with your commissioners, so it saves your staff time doing the research. You know, and I don't know how you do that under the copyright standards, but you may, it sounds like the general consensus of the group is pull that information together, do it on a work session basis, and then maybe if you had that online stuff available, if they wanted to go back into the online material post the interaction, move through it that way, but leverage that as a resource. If the training's out there and it fits kind of your schema, but some of those are very specific to Springfield. So when you get at that level, it is going to be staff intensive to get into that process. So, does that make sense?
Personally, I love the idea, and you know, a lot of times things come up, and I have to ask questions for case-specific thing, but then I feel like not knowing the answer to the question, it's a much larger issue than just that specific case. So learning about these larger issues would, I think, really help in our capacity here. Some suggestions I have, because that's what you're asking for, on how that might look. Work sessions are great. I know, like you said, a lot of times work sessions aren't going to be happening when we're on downtime, but anytime we have a public hearing or even not a work session, I think is a great time to take an hour and do a lecture. I would say if you designed a lecture series based on, you know, moving through the various topics in work sessions, that'd be great. I think as far as leveraging online resources, we already do homework reading the staff reports, so if you are willing to supply us with information, videos, or articles that we could read before we came in for work sessions, I find that that's useful. As a student, you know, teachers have us read the textbook and then come into lecture. So I think that if we could utilize outside sources to get as much information as we can and have come in and ask questions after we study that, I think that would be really helpful. That way, we don't come in and sit and have it explained, not be prepared to ask questions because we just got the material, and then go watch it online where, once again, we can't ask our computer screen questions. I think that if we took, like you said, certain topics will be very specific to Springfield. I think if we could leverage the online stuff for the more basic stuff earlier on, and then later, as we felt we had a more solid foundation and understanding, we could in further work sessions go on specific individualized topics. But I love the idea. I'd be all for coming to more work sessions and sitting down for an hour and just absorbing. So thank you for offering.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Lose.
My thought is I agree with the classroom concept of having material to study, because I'm presuming from a staff workload standpoint that it takes less time to prepare written information than oral information.
Right, I probably wouldn't be creating a lot of written information other than when we got to Springfield specific. There is quite a bit of material.
Because I can see the point of, I'm perfectly willing to read a lot of material in preparation for a discussion, and I know that's typically how we do things. And I'm in favor of learning as much from written material as possible individually, and then convening and discussing what we read, and then moving forward from there.
So being sensitive to the staff time, I think, is what you're hearing, and having the material in advance of a work session so it can be reviewed. I mean, that's pretty much what the commission does. You know, we get 500-page documents that we need to evaluate and go through and pull out the pertinent information, and so that we can ask the pertinent questions. But then having staff summarize that information and then have an opportunity to interact a little bit in areas that, you know, verbally summarize, and then have an opportunity to interact in work session, you know, I think that would be a great way to leverage, you know, and those, like you said, those resources, written materials, already exist out there for a lot of the high-level items. It's just the stuff where you get down into the nuts and bolts of the code and some of the Springfield-specific issues. It's going to be a little more staff intensive, but that's just as important, I think, especially when you're talking in terms of a rewrite of the code. It's incredibly important. So if you, the sooner you can start at that high level and begin to set the context and work your way down, the more prepared this commission is going to be to deal intelligently on their knowledge base and experience when it comes to some of the difficult decisions that they're going to be faced with in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years related to the code provisions. So, yes?
So you had a long list of topics, and if you already covered this more generally, I apologize. One thought I had that would be a great topic would be all of our plans, at least the relevant ones that we run into a lot. You know, Glenwood and downtown Main Street are newer ones we're looking at, but right here we're looking at how a plan is in conflict with a comprehensive plan, right? And so I think how the different maps interact, why we go with one over the other, and what plans we have on file, and just going over the most important pieces of those plans so we understand what the city's trying to accomplish through them. Mm-hmm. I've gone on the website and I've tried to dig into plans, and sometimes it can be a bit difficult to find a list of all of them, and also, I mean, they're really long, so absorbing all the material as you're reading through it isn't necessarily as conductive as, or as conducive as having staff sort of explain it and summarize it. So I think going through the plans we have on file and explaining how those plans interact with our comprehensive plan and our code would be really helpful going forward.
The other thing that dawns on me, you know, going through the DAC process, there were some charts and some things that were developed through that process just that gave me a much better understanding of what a developer is faced with when they walk in the door to go through the process for development. I think that's really important for this commission to understand. You know, and you know, there's a fast track process. There's you know, and just you know, anything that is a schematic that can be done in a single shot. That's a picture that we can chart a course and gain an understanding. I think those pieces are really important for the commission to have, because, you know, oftentimes we're faced with decisions related to developers who are out there trying to do good work, but are faced with some regulations that oftentimes the commission may not fully understand what's blocking their access to getting to where they would like to be. And so I think that's critically important as we look as to the rewrite of the code. So, yes.
I think too, one of the challenges that you probably confronted with is pacing, because unlike a typical classroom where everybody supposedly is on the same comprehension level, with having a couple of newcomers and then having people that are quite experienced at the processes and the writing, you're going to have all these variations, and how do you pace somewhere in between where you keep the newcomers going and not bore to death the people that already know a lot of it? So I think that's going to be a challenge to try to create the right pacing.
So Commissioner Vose, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on the experienced planning commissioners to explain how they've applied the lessons learned in their various meetings. That you've faced a lot of these things that I've only been here 2 years, and some of you have been on the commission much longer than that. And so you've had occasions where you've seen these things play out, and being able to share those experiences with the newcomers and giving that insight, I think, is how I'm hoping that we can address that issue.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. The seated commissioners, you have your, after I'm gone, you will have the most time serving on the commission. So your wealth of knowledge about, oh, remember when this, and this is how that applied and how it played out, and how we dealt with it at the time. That's critically important. Putting it into context, right?
So, and Mike's been around for a while, and
that's, oh, absolutely.
Andy lands back in a seat up here, but then he's been around for a while. So,
that's true.
And Troy's up to speed on a lot of what we've been going through. Yeah. So.
Okay, does that sound good? Right. Excellent job, Sandy. Thank you for your
Thank
work
you. On this. And then I'm going to ask Brenda Jones to give you an update as well on the Planning Commission recruitment process.
Okay.
So as you know, we did a recruitment. It was a 7-week long recruitment. We received 7 applications for 2, maybe 3 positions. They will be interviewed next Monday starting at 5:30. Everyone that applied meets all standards. I mean, we had a great recruitment this time.
Excellent.
Where was I going with that? So I'm looking forward to see what the council does with their interviews, and hopefully 10-1 we'll have a full planning commission and move forward from there.
They are planning to interview all 7 at one meeting rather than splitting them into 2?
No, they gave us extra time, and they'll be interviewing everyone Monday night. So, and we've had several of them attend your PC meetings, which is a great, great opportunity for them to kind of see what you guys have done.
That's always been encouraged.
Yeah. Yeah. We were a little nervous towards the end, and the council was getting nervous because we only had, I think, 2 applications at the time. But we did a few different things this year with this recruitment. We posted it on the website, everywhere we could get it. The council posted it, and there was one other thing that we did. What was that?
You sent it to the Planning Commission email list.
Yeah, and then we sent it out to the larger list that I send your agendas and staff reports to. So
that's great to see.
It was very encouraging.
Yeah. It's always great to see some new community members that are mm-hmm. willing to step up and be part of the process.
Yeah. So with that, we had to change some of the, we're requesting that the council change some of the appointment dates because Commissioner Landon's we didn't post in time for that because I was off. His is changing to start date as the interview date, which is 10-1 if he's reappointed. The other position is Commissioner James. We're going to change that just by 1 day. But the one that's the biggest change is Commissioner Dunn's. We're requesting that they make that appointment for 4 years and 4 months. So we're only losing 2 commissioners at a time.
Yeah.
And not 3. So we did some adjustments there. So I'm hoping that they'll go for that. And
good.
That I have no reason to believe that they won't.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Good.
So in closing comment, I would encourage any of the Planning Commission applicants who are here, whether you're appointed or not, and if you have an interest, to come to these different work sessions that we have on training. And for anyone to encourage members of the public, because I think a more informed public, especially as we go through this, will always be to our benefit. So these training sessions, I mean, they're geared toward you as planning commissioners, but they'll be open to the public. And mm-hmm. if we get a lot of interest, there might be ways that we can incorporate public into that training as well.
Yeah, I would encourage that. You know, the Jesse Main Room is pretty tight quarters. So I would just suggest that if I'm hoping that there is some public interest to be able to attend those sessions to get some additional information. So, you know, if it comes to the point where we're running out of space, which I would hope, that the city can accommodate us in the library meeting room or some mm-hmm. other area, so that folks who do want to attend have an opportunity to.
And I just have one more thing. You do not have anything on your agenda for October 2nd, but I would like to hold a impromptu meeting to honor Commissioner James for his 8 years of service. So if we can meet
back.
We
gotta do a training, shouldn't we?
That's whatever you want to do.
So please bring your...
We're not gonna unceremoniously just kick him out the door?
You can do whatever you want when I'm not looking.
Oh.
So am I still on the commission on October 2nd? That's your recommendation?
Your last October day is on the commission is 10-2. Oh. 10-1. Because they'll have appointed someone for your position. So
you want me to show up on 10-2?
If you'd like. You can show up anytime you want.
Okay, what is the... So you've got protocol figured out for officers and that type of thing. That's going to take place in the October 2nd meeting. Is that your plan, Sandy?
I don't know. Do we do that? No, we have to have publicize it. So it'd be at one of our next meetings. Yeah.
Okay. So I think she was thinking that the October 2nd wouldn't be a formal planning commission meeting. And so therefore the officer piece would happen at the next formal meeting, which would probably, I don't remember the date, but October 17th or whatever that would be.
Possibly October 16th.
16th.
Good.
Yeah.
We may have to operate as the gang of four until then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was it.
Yes. Go ahead.
Business from the Planning Commission. I'm kind of an infrastructure guy and drove by a cell tower we approved up on Pioneer Parkway. And it looks to me like that thing is at least a couple of degrees out of plumb. Now, it may be my eye, but it looks as if it's leaning fairly significantly. Also is covered with all kinds of galvanized scars that had to be touched up and is quite an unattractive piece of infrastructure for that location, which was my position back when we approved it as well, but I didn't think it would look good. It looks even worse than what I thought of. The other thing, it's also regarding infrastructure, is in the roundabouts in Glenwood, looks as if a noxious weed was brought into with the soil in there. So unfortunately, it looks like that all those wetlands and recharge areas might end up being having to have herbicide treatments because we've got horsetail coming up out there like crazy. So thought I'd mention that in case anyone touches base with some of the folks who approved the soil mix or whatever on that project.
I'm sure there's typically a warranty period on, you know, it's probably Rexius or somebody did the planning violation. So, you know, that's a staff issue.
That particular contractor has had that issue in other locations.
Yeah. Okay. Any other business? We stand adjourned.
Was that your cell tower?
Yeah, it was.